Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Diane Mandel, and she uses the Himalayan healing bowls, which are also known as Tibetan bowls, as an ancient method of sound vibration to affect healing and consciousness transformation. So that strikes me as being quite unusual. So are you there, Diane?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Great. Obviously, welcome to the program. I think one of the first questions one would like to ask is, how did you get involved in it, and what came about that it developed into something that you clearly have become very professional in and use in a professional way?
Well, I guess it's a little bit of a long story. I'm going to try and make it short. I was raised in a bicultural family, and I went back and forth from the south of France to the States every year. So sound, the sound of languages, different languages around me, sound was always a really important part of my life. And I guess my journey has always been to be a bridge. I've always enjoyed working as a bridge to help people develop their own potential, understand differences. And when I was fed up, working in the corporate world, I wanted to do something that was more hands-on, and I started to study energy balancing at Kripalu in Lenox, Massachusetts. And during the time that I was working as a polarity practitioner, I met my teacher, who introduced me to Tibetan bowls, and I studied with Sacred Sound Workshops for a few years. The moment I heard them, I felt called, literally called, to work with this modality. It had such a profound effect upon myself. And so I continued to work integrating polarity, which is a form of energy balancing, and the bowls. And when I moved to California, in 2000, I opened my own private healing business here, but after just a few years, it was very clear to me that the modality needed to be made available, and more people needed to hear about it. So I developed my, I would call them educational concert programs. And so that developed, and I've been doing that for, I guess, about 5 years now, traveling all over, offering concerts, but they all have an educational component to them.
Yes.
And
carry on.
Yeah, and the last piece has been, I would say, for me, the most exciting piece is getting involved with the San Diego Cancer Center. It just happened that a lot of the research that had been done around these instruments had centered around how effective they were in the healing of cancer and in the treatment of cancer. And so I got, somehow or other, I started really getting a lot of clients who had some form of cancer. And I would say that is, I don't really have a specialization, but if there was an area of focus, that would be it. And I'm now involved working at the San Diego Cancer Center, and that's been just an exciting thing.
So, all sounds very interesting. Now, it's quite apparent that in this modern age, most of us at different times suffer from stress from one reason or another. And I notice that you tell us that sound from the Himalayan bowls reduces stress and promotes a feeling of well-being. Now, can you tell us a bit about how that comes about, and do you treat stress, say, separately from other ailments?
Well, I want to preface this by saying that the entire philosophy of working with the Tibetan bowls, the Himalayan bowls, comes from the Buddhist Tibetan beliefs and their philosophy, which is the oneness, the wholeness of all things, the interrelationship of all things. And so when I work with one, perhaps a tumor or stress or cancer, I'm really, even though there are different ailments, and even though there might be a difference in layouts or some aspects of the work that I'm doing, the bottom line is always bringing people's frequencies back into alignment and bringing them back into a memory of wholeness.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes and no, and there's a very definite way in which these instruments do affect stress. You know, I think it's like 85% of all visits to physicians are stress-based, and that includes cancer.
I'm not surprised. Now, when you use your bowls, are you able to modulate them in any way? Because I have first-hand experience of them. A friend of mine has one. And when I go to his meditation meetings, we sometimes enjoy a relaxed period using it. Now, it sort of strikes me that once you get the bowl humming or singing, that it generally modulates a little bit but holds that sort of tone. So how do you use it to respond to what you want, or isn't that the way it works?
I just finished an intensive 2-day workshop with students who have been using my I developed a sound healing course that is a home study course, and twice a year I offer them hands-on workshops, and that is really one of the most vital parts of learning to use the instrument. A lot of people think that you bang on the bowls and you get them humming, but each bowl produces at least 5 audible sounds to the human ear and has just a huge range of notes within that create the harmonics that we can't even hear. Animals can hear them. Aside from that, each bowl has within its own tonalities, a whole range of textures, I would call, and there are energizing textures, there are soothing textures, there are awakening textures. All of this is modulated by how you strike the bowl, where you strike the bowl, and with what. If a person only has one bowl, if they have 5 different mallets, and they strike the bowl varying the type of mallet, the placement on the bowl in which they strike, and also the strength of which they strike, from very, very light to very, very to very much harder, they're not only going to get different textures, but they're also going to get different tones. So that is, you know, in playing with one of these instruments, you can get a whole variety of different tones and textures, and each one of them is calibrated, or each one of them is used in the healing process to either awaken or soothe or ground. So each one of them has its own task. And so to answer your question, yes, there's a lot more than just getting it humming that's available to us.
Right. So now my friend, as I recall, uses a wooden mallet to strike the bowl, and then once it's sort of humming, he keeps it going by rubbing the mallet on the rim at the top. Now, would you say in the first place that wood is better than any other thing to strike it with? And is he using it the correct way?
Well, I think it's a big, big mistake to strike a bowl with a wooden mallet. And, you know, it's just testimony to how misrepresented, you know, how many people really don't know a whole lot about them. When you strike a ball with there are many reasons why not to strike a ball with a wooden mallet. First of all, the balls are made of 7 metals, and if they're too hot or too cold, or they're struck too hard, they can crack. And they're not inexpensive instruments. I mean, the good ones aren't, and it's a sad thud that you hear when an instrument cracks. The wood is really made for singing the bowl, for rubbing the mallet around the perimeter of the bowl to get it to interact with it and have it invite the singing kind of sound. There's also another way to make it sing, to get it to sing, which is really beautiful, and it is a leather-covered mallet. The leather brings out the lower tones, the bass notes in the song, and the wood brings out the higher notes. When you strike a bowl with the wooden mallet, the sound that it produces is a very sharp sound. When you strike it with a padded mallet, mostly the mallets that we have, that we sell, that we use, are heavy hardwood, covered with a monk's robe, and if you don't have access to monk's robe, some kind of nice felt or even wool material wrapped around the stick. And that produces a very beautiful, expansive, soft tone. And remember that the instruments were created for consciousness transformation, and so it's a sound that has no edge to it, whereas when you strike it with the wooden mallet, it does have an edge. And a lot of people actually strike the bowl with a wooden mallet or strike the bowl just a little bit, tap it before they sing it. Really, you don't have to do that. When you play very skillfully, you can just invite the bowl to sing. It's also sometimes, and this is with no disrespect whatsoever for your friend, I'm sure he knows what he's doing and he's made this choice, but for a lot of beginners, when people tap the bowl, it's because they don't have the confidence that the bowl's voice will come up.
Yeah.
And we're talking about metals here, so oftentimes the metals, what happens is the metals, as you're rubbing the perimeter of the bowl, the voice is coming up because the metals are warming up. They're warming up just like you warm up in any orchestra. So
yes.
So if you're in a place that's cold and you don't have much patience and you want to do it quickly, then you'll get the bowl vibrating really fast by striking it first and then playing on that vibration. But really, it's not the best way.
No, no. Is it traditional then to make these bowls, I think you said, with seven different metals? Is it always that way?
It's not always that way, because the traditional way went... I mean, there are a few people, perhaps one person in Nepal, who is still making bowls. He's making new bowls in the traditional manner. The traditional manner of making the bowls, originally the bowls were created in two monastic communities on the borders of Tibet, the Hor, spelled H-O-R, and the Yang. Those were the only two communities that were creating most of the bowls that we see, that are ancient bowls. And the way that they were made in those times were that the metallurgists went up into the Himalayas and collected the metals, the seven metals, and melted them, pounded them into shape and into tone, while the monks were reciting mantras and praying and blessings into them.
Yes.
Now, one of those metals is known to the Tibetans is iron, and it's known as sky metal. It is iron that comes from meteorite deposits that were only found in the upper regions of the Himalayas.
Oh, really? Yes.
Now, about maybe a little bit more than 100 years ago, these metals stopped being collected in this way, and any bowls that were made after, say, you know, more recently than 100 years could have anywhere up to 12 metals in them. And now, because those metals are no longer being collected, and the way that they're made now, they were hand-hammered. And there are some very distinctive marks on the Hor bowls that dignifies them and shows that they are from that particular community versus the Yang bowls. Now, the way they're made now, many bowls are made still in Nepal. Many bowls, many of the bowls that you see in the West come out of India, I would say most of them. Those bowls are made in a modern way with anywhere up to 12 metals, and they're made on lathes. They're made for commercial purposes, and they don't have the sacredness of the ancient bowls. They don't have the... Remember that the ancient bowls, not only were they made, but they were also used in monasteries and sacred ceremonies and rituals. And the ones that are now, they're coming out of a lathe, being made to look old and sent out to the West, mostly.
Now, Diane, there are crystal bowls. How do they compare with the Tibetan singing bowls? What is the difference?
There's a lot of difference. One of them is I've just explained the way the ancient bowls were made with the blessings and the way the metals were collected and the rituals that they were used in. And so energetically, these ancient bowls have the energy still intrinsic within them. The other thing about the metal bowls is that, as I mentioned, each bowl produces a whole range of harmonics. And the way that they are conceived is that they are conceived for the transformation of consciousness, and they are conceived to work with the whole being, that is, body, mind, spirit, ethereal body, astral plane, you know, you name it. It's working with the whole, the interrelationship of all things. The crystal bowls are beautiful crystals that were taken from the ground and literally smashed up, made in machines, in shops, on lathes, and made into bowls, each one tuned to only one specific chakra. So they are calibrated to work with one specific area of the body, the heart or the liver or the, you know, mostly they're calibrated to the chakras. That's the major, and they don't produce harmonics individually. When you work with several of them together, they do. However, as I mentioned with the Himalayan bowls, each one has at least 5 different audible notes to humans, and more to animals, and many more to machines that can hear what we can't hear.
Yes. So now, let's get round to what the sound actually does. What would it do to me if I was being treated by you?
Well, I can't tell you what it would do to you. I can tell you some of the attributes of the bowls. Of course, every individual is different. I mean, I have clients that immediately respond to the sound because they're open, they're good partners. I mean, who you are, who any person is going to impact on the effect. Either they're going to be welcoming, they're going to be open, they're going to be sensitive, or it's going to appear like, or it's going to feel like a foreign language that they have to start to sort of get used to. So after a few sessions, their brain can really sort of calm down and stop interfering with the process, and they can start really getting most effects. But in general, I think what you're asking me is what are some of the biological things that happen. And in general, some of those things include the slowing down of brain waves, slowing down of the heart rate and of the respiratory rate, so that all three of those frequencies, vibrations, are working in sync with one another. And that actually has a name. It's called cardiorespiratory synchrony.
Oh, yes.
When the human body is in that kind of a frequency, when these different frequencies, rates, are working together, that creates probably the absolute best container for healing that is possible. So it prepares the body, it puts the body into Oh, there comes the train. You hear the train in the background?
Yeah.
So that puts the body into a state which is absolutely ripe for healing. So whether it be healing from a broken bone or from somebody who's doing, say, chemotherapy and more traditional, it is the most receptive that it can be.
Yeah.
The other things that it has been shown to do is it balances the right and left hemisphere of the brain. It immediately brings people into a relaxation response. It initiates the relaxation response pretty quickly. And at the same time as it's doing that, it diminishes the fight or flight response, the pain response. So it's also known as what's called an internal opiate. An internal opiate is literally a natural painkiller, so it serves as diminishing pain.
Yeah. Now, it's believed that we have chakric systems, and when they are out of balance, it often comes out at a physical level through the glands or other parts of the body. Now, when you treat people with the sounds and the bowls, are you consciously doing that, in other words, balancing the chakras, or do you believe that happens automatically?
Well, let me first say that there is a nerve in the body called the vagus nerve. That nerve originates in the brain stem. It has two like little antennae that go into whose receptors are in the inner ear. And then that nerve also goes to and impacts every major organ in the body except for the spleen. Don't ask me why. I don't know why the spleen was left out, but it was. So when I'm treating someone, I've got bowls right within 3 inches of their body, all around their body, on their chakras. And even if I didn't have that, their internal organs and would be touched by the vibration and the frequency that's going through their inner ear and literally being carried to every single organ in their body.
Right.
Now, with respect to the chakras, I want to say that in the Tibetan tradition, the Tibetans don't have 7 chakras. That's more of the Indian system. Which is an absolutely fine system, and I often use it myself. But there are more in the Tibetan system. There are 5 chakras. They use more what's called regions of the body.
Yes.
But the bowls can be placed on the regions of the body, or the bowls can be placed on the chakras, and they absolutely, the whole process is getting the body back into alignment. But I want to say that the bowls are only one part of the sacred sound family. A lot of people don't know this. They only use the bowls. The bowls are truly instruments of alignment, but there are 2 other instruments that are used in the sacred sound family, actually 3. One is not a sound instrument. It's an instrument of intention. But one of them is the tingshas. The tingshas are like those, a lot of people use them in yoga. They look like little flying saucers, and they're binged together. Are you familiar with those? They're like little circular, and they're held together by a piece of leather, and people strike them together. They usually have a high pitch. And these tingshas, in the context of a healing session, are used to awaken dormant energies. So usually we will start a session with the playing of the tingshas in a very specific manner that pays homage to the Tibetan tradition in which they were made. I don't have time to really talk about that much today, but I do want to introduce your listeners to the whole family. Then there's another instrument called the ganta and the dorje. The ganta is a bell, and if you look at any Tibetan film where there are monks in it having ceremonies, you will hear the tingshas, and you will see the gantas being held and played, their bells, and in one hand they'll be held in the left hand, and the right hand there will be another instrument, which I can't describe on the telephone. I think it has to be, it's kind of a scepter, and that's known as the Dorje. They represent the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And these instruments are used to move energy. So the first instrument is to awaken energy. The second and third instruments are to move energy. So the Ganta moves energy in the spirit of the divine feminine, and the Dorje moves energy by placement and intention through with the energies of manifestation and the masculine energies. And then when that is, so that is sort of doing a clearing, and then the alignment comes. And that's where the balls come into play in a sound healing session, or at least the ones that I do. I know a lot of people who don't even know about those other instruments and also don't know a lot about how to play the balls. But even for those people who really have less knowledge about how to use them, they are wonderful instruments of transformation, and they will produce some very benefic effects.
Well, I think it's a very appropriate time to ask you a question that one of our listeners emailed me with. She says that she has a bowl, but it's called a cure. And if you recognize that, she wondered if you could tell her how to use it.
I've never heard of it.
You haven't?
I've never heard of that. But if she can take a digital photograph of it and send it to me on email, I will take a look at it. And that might be, you know, one of the things that I've discovered in looking around websites where people are selling bowls is that they have been packaged for the Western mindset. And so they have been given all kinds of names, Buddha bowls and, you know, master, healer, I don't know. They've been given lots of different names. So this might just be one of those names that were used for packaging and marketing purposes. Who knows? But if she sends me an email, I'll certainly be able to take a look at it.
Right, that's very kind of you. Now, are there some measurable medical benefits that you can tell us about?
Measurable medical benefits?
Yes.
You mean statistics?
Well, I mean, have they been looked at to see their results and their success from a medical point of view? I mean, could they say it, for example, I mean, it's hypothetical, that they found that it helps someone who's asthmatic or things like that. I know you say that it has an overall effect.
Dr. Mitchell Gaynor is the director of medical oncology at the Strang Cancer Center in New York City.
Yeah.
He's about as medical as you can get. He's the director of this oncology unit. He has been using these instruments for about the last 10 years because they have been so effective in the reduction of stress and the healing process in the cancer. I had a client, a medical doctor who was a client, and the wonderful thing is there are more and more of them. The group that I was with last night at the San Diego Cancer Center, it is a whole group of oncologists and physicians who are working and integrating these modalities into their practice, marrying them because they are so effective. So one of the ways that they work so well in cancer is that they help to diminish the stress level so much that, and of course stress just exacerbates any situation. Client is able from a very peaceful place to begin to get a different perspective of the illness itself, able to have the effects of chemotherapy greatly diminished instead of such as nausea and dizziness, things like profuse perspiration from medication can also be diminished, those kinds of things, highly effective, even
Yeah.
Even some tuners have been reduced. The sound, in general, not just Tibetan bowls, but sound has the capacity to transform cells in a magical way. And there's a fellow on the internet called Fabien Maman, who's a French sound healer, who works with a whole bunch of different modalities. He's got some wonderful photographs on his website of cells actually being transformed through the use of sound. So there's been lots of research done, and all of it has been very positive.
Right. Now, is there any benefit if one is using it for self-healing to use it for longer and longer periods? I mean, what do you recommend?
I'll tell you a funny story, if you like. I use the bowl so much. I've always been interested in research, and I've always sort of been a skeptic about everything, and so it's been important to me to have some scientific, you know, backing to anything that I do. At one point, I got together with a doctor who was measuring. He had a specific name. I can't remember it now. Who was measuring my brain waves. And he was measuring over a period of about 6 weeks. Now, I use the bowls in healing sessions. I use them for meditation. I use them during concerts. I do lots of concerts tours, so they're pretty much used a great deal. Well, my brain waves were so far into the theta domain that I went to see him at a time where I was starting to feel like I was just an open circuit. I was getting so much information was coming in. It was uncomfortable. He just helped me to recognize I had to back off a little bit. He just said, Deanne, when you're doing the laundry, all you need to do is be doing the laundry, you know? But there's so much more information coming in. So I learned that there was, you know, a point where it could be too much, and learn to balance that. In general, for most people, it's not going to be, it's not ever going to be a situation of too much. For most people, it's going to be very, very good for bringing them into a mental frequency of alpha, theta, which is going to reduce a lot of the monkey mind, a lot of the chatter, a lot of anxiety, and help them to focus, to be more tuned into more creative aspects and higher consciousness. And when you play a bowl for longer periods of time, when you play it on a regular basis, what happens is that you are strengthening your capacity to be in that brainwave state for longer and longer periods of time, which is a good thing until it gets to be too long. But, I mean, all of life is about balance anyway, so we just have to understand what's happening.
What sort of level of success do they have, say, for someone who has pain in the body?
You know, I don't have any statistics. I can tell you about my personal healing sessions and what's reported. Also, what happens at concerts, a great deal. It's interesting because the instruments are calibrated, and part of their function is to bring us to the awareness of those things that are stuck energy within us, whether that be on a mental plane or emotional or physical. So oftentimes in concerts, what will happen will be people will get, all of a sudden they're lying there, because people are lying down in my concerts, and they'll get a terrible headache, or they'll get an awful pain somewhere in their body, or they'll get a terrible backache, and it will be quite acute, and then all of a sudden it will disappear. A lot of times this pain will occur where they've had a surgery or they've had some kind of procedure in their body, but they hadn't had the healing. The healing being the process of consciousness raising. And sometimes this can be done on an unconscious level, but when it hasn't been done at all, then the conditions that caused that original situation will still be in the body. So the bowls will call out to that situation, bring it up into their consciousness, and then let go of the physical sensation of it, but keep them, but raise their awareness about, oh my God, you know what, you know, I got that headache, and I really have been thinking too much. I really need to take a break, or I need to take my, you know, I've had all this dental work done, but I haven't been speaking my truth. You know, all these kinds of things happen regularly at concerts. In terms of private healing, you know, my personal private healing sessions, I can't think of one person who's ever come in that didn't feel better going out than they came in.
Right. Does the size of the bowl make any difference to the sound or the quality of it?
The quality and the sound and the quality, well, that kind of depends on the listener. It, you know, yes, the larger bowls have a deeper, richer sound, and the smaller bowls tend to, even though some of the smaller bowls might be deep in tone, their sound might, they tend to be a little higher pitched than some of the big bowls. I mean, the size of the bowl, the amount of, you know, each bowl is a has a combination of metals in them. So whatever the combination of metals in a particular bowl, how much percentage of each, if one has more copper or one has more iron or one has more lead, all of those things, everything is connected. There's no rule of thumb that says a bigger bowl is a better bowl or has a better sound.
Right.
All of these things are interrelated, and they all contribute to the sound of a bowl.
Yes, yes. Now, you enhance your work with the bowls by using the power of intention and visualization along with energy balancing techniques. No doubt you explain that fully in your workshops, but could you cover that to some extent for our listeners?
The work of intention? Are you asking me to explain a little bit more the work?
I'm asking you really what it is you require from the clients when you say the power of intention and visualization.
Oh, okay. Well, in general, it's like, intention is like a roadmap. People generally come to me, and they're generally coming with a belief system and a mindset that conspire to have them looking at themselves with a critical, judgmental mind and judging themselves on their weakest link. So that is normally the mindset of most people when they come in. Of course, there are a lot of people come in that they just want a profound spiritual adventure. We're talking about intention right now. So part of the effectiveness of intention is to help somebody become cognizant of their belief systems, and rather than have that as being unconscious, have it as being intentional, choosing where they want to go, choosing what they want to buy into energetically and cognitively. So that is why intention setting is good, because it's a process, the way I do it, that helps them to recognize what belief systems they're coming in with and to choose some that will more effectively support their well-being.
Yeah.
So that's the intention setting part of it. The visualization part of it is something that I will work with them. I will create visualizations which will strengthen and help them to build their relationship with their intention.
Yes. Right, that's very interesting. Now, time is going by very rapidly. We're by no means at the end of the 55 minutes, but you might perhaps tell us about your activities and events that are coming up.
Sure. I don't have anything coming up in the UK, but I'm doing a whole number of tours. I think here at the end of February 22nd to 24th, I will be touring in the Arizona area, in Phoenix and Yuma and Scottsdale and Glendale, that area. And then in the end of February, I'm going to be doing, for the first time, a pretty interesting performance of just a few bowls and also a lot of different gongs. I'll have seven different kinds of gongs.
Wow.
And I'll be introducing people to the power of these instruments and talking a little bit about their history, their place in healing,
yeah,
and just giving people an opportunity to play. You know, there are very few stores you can walk into and play with these instruments. So I have some from very small to very large ones. And that will be here in the San Diego area.
Yeah.
Then in April and May, I'm going to be doing two tours, one of them going up in April. I'll be in Yreka and Carson City and Rosedale, Fresno, and Chino, California. And in May, I'll be back in Arizona and Utah and Scottsdale, Prescott, and Flagstaff, Cedar City, and then finally back down to Las Vegas. So they're pretty intensive tours. During the tours, I do my concerts, which involve bowls, gantas, tingshas, chimes, gongs, I think I mentioned, also a light show. And so it's a wonderful opportunity, but I also do private healing sessions and workshops along the way, so they're pretty jam-packed.
Is information about all of this on your website?
It is, and my website is www.soundenergyhealing.com. That's soundenergyhealing.com. It's all one word, all lowercase.
Right. You've written a book, which you might mention, and you have CDs. Are there many of them?
Well, the two books, the first book, Ancient Sounds for a New Age, really came about from all the people who could not make my workshops. I have a lot of students in Australia and New Zealand and also many in the UK and places where it's a little bit more difficult to puddle jump across to San Diego, even though it's a wonderful place to visit. And so I created a multimedia course to get people started, and it's really an introduction. There's so much to learn about these instruments. And it is it's like an 80-page workbook and a DVD and a CD. And it's meant to give people a thorough introduction to not just the technical aspects of using these instruments, but also the philosophical and the energetic, you know, written from a healer's point of view. The other book is my newest one. It's Space: How to Clear Space with Sound. These instruments have been used for sound space clearing, and this is also an e-book. It's also just a wonderful introduction and a very usable, practical handbook for anyone who wants to learn how to clear space using these instruments.
Right. If people want to have a session with you or book a concert, would they go to your website to do that?
Yeah, they would go to my website, and incidentally, on my website, there's an 8-minute video that you can look at that gives you a sense of the texture of what the concerts feel like, and it's good, you know, so people will have a sense of what they're getting. But they can contact me through the website or through my email, which is diane@soundenergyhealing.com.
Right.
And they can get my CDs. I have two CDs, Return to Om and Sarasvati's Dream. But also, one of the things that's on my website is a whole series of articles. I just had an article published in a national magazine this month, The Light of Consciousness. And it's really interesting for people who want to get educated and get more than a perfunctory understanding of these instruments to go and read some of the articles, and there are many of them that I have on my website that they can hear, read.
Presumably, on some of your CDs, people can hear one of the bowls singing. Now, is it the same quality of sound when it's recorded, or do you really need to, if you want healing, or you want to use one for meditation, would you really have to have a bowl there, the real thing?
Well, there are a couple of answers to that. When we're working in a private session, we're working with cellular memory. So if you've had a private session, if you've had a personal session, and you felt the vibration of these instruments, then when you hear the CD, which is very close to the session, it will trigger that cellular memory, so it will be very beneficial. However, in general, any kind of a digital reproduction of loud of a live performance or of any kind is going to be different. The CD, especially Return to Om, has been really, really good for relaxation, for meditation, for helping. I have so many people who use it for sleep, so many people who bring it into the surgery room with them when they're going into surgery. But one of the things that some people have devised up on their own, I would have never thought of it myself, is that massage therapists have created, I don't even know what it is, but it's underneath, it's attached to their massage tables on the underside, so that when they play the CD, the client can actually feel the vibrations through the table. And that's something
right.
that quite a few people have rigged up. Don't ask me how. I don't know how they've done it.
Right. Do you actually sell the bowls from your website as well?
Well, I don't sell them on the website. What I do is I introduce them on the website. I sell them either in person or over the phone. I
right.
really, really think, you know, people, and people are always calling me and saying, could you pick out three bowls for me? And my answer is always, I will help you. You're the one who has to resonate with the bowls. I have my bowls. So I'm pretty, you know, I guess I could sell a lot more bowls than I do, but I think that part of the process of owning a bowl is being involved in the selection of it, because you really want it to be calibrated with that part of you that that needs calling up.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a bit earlier in the program about this person called Fabio. You might want to repeat that in case someone didn't have time to make a note of that, because they may be interested in following that one up.
That's fine, and it's not. It's actually Fabien, F-A-B-I-E-N, and the last name is Maman, M-A-M-A-N, like the French mama. Fabien Maman, and his organization is called Tama, T-A-M-A, Do, D-O. He has some wonderful photographs. Actually, in my book, there are some of his photographs of the cancer cell being affected by sound.
Right. Now, I have reason to believe that one of the subscribers is certainly looking to purchase a CD. If someone was starting out on that for the first time, which one of your CDs would you recommend?
I would recommend Return to Om. And the reason I would recommend that is that because it's pretty pure. The second one, Sarasvati's Dream, was conceived of as a dreamscape. It's got a lot of other instruments. It's got didgeridoo and other instruments in it. But Return to Om is really great because of the pureness of it, but also because it was meant to be used both therapeutically and for learners who are starting to play the bowls, and they can play along with that. That provides kind of a background texture. You know, it's kind of like when you sing in the car, you always sound better with the radio on.
Yes.
So it provides kind of an encouraging background to what it is that you do when you're just beginning.
Right. Do you ever think one of the bowls will get into the hit parade?
Well, listen, I was just contacted by an HBO showcase television program who wanted to, but the name of the program was Tenor and Pell Bullshit. So they were out to look at different unusual modalities and basically pull them apart.
Oh, yes, yes.
So far, that is the only television hit parade kind of a thing I've been contacted for.
Right. So, now, how would you think, and this is assuming you actually know, that the sound from the bowls would help someone who is depressed? Because I would imagine there's nothing that's much worse than being in a state of depression.
Well, there is, you see, and this is one of the wonderful things about having some kind of training and energy work, and that is I do work with people who are depressed, and their energy needs to be woken up. And so some of these other instruments, like the tingsha and the ganta, used to move energy and wake up energy. And then I have on my website some teleclasses, and there's one of them that specifically talks about using the bowls for depression. And it's the kinds of bowls, it's the movement of the sound, where the sound is going, what kind of sounds you would be making to move out of depression. And you know, you probably want to go from lower tones to higher tones and work up the body, bringing the energy up. So that's a great question, and I just happen to have a teleclass specifically answering that question.
Diane, you obviously know your subject very well. We've come to the point in the program now where I literally have a couple of minutes left, so I'd like to thank you for being on it. I'm sure the listeners enjoyed what you had to say. And that will leave me enough time to tell our listeners about my next guest next Friday. So thank you very much for coming onto the program.
All right.
Very enjoyable.
Thank you.
Now, next Friday, I will be having a representative from the spiritual city from Italy, as it is known, perhaps better known as the Temples of Dananhur, which was named after the Egyptian ancient subterranean temple meaning City of Light. This should be a very interesting program, because if you have a computer, you could actually run an internet website which will show you the temples that we will be talking about. And you will be able to follow it, obviously, a lot more closely. But when I send out my email giving a little bit more detail, I'll put the website in there. But if anyone's listening who wants to make a note now, it is www.dananhur, which is D-A-M-A-N-H-U-R. I'll repeat that, D-A-M-A-N-H-U-R.org. So you can get a little bit of an insight into what is coming up. I think it will be an extremely interesting program. I've got loads of questions I can ask, so I hope you'll be with me then. And I'll thank you for being with me today. God bless you all.